It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe
out. Welcome back.
Never mind.
Hour two begins now. And Stephen Nelson retires. He, the author of Milk Dud Man, when referencing our coach, he has decided he will no longer play in the NFL. He's going to focus on family and other business opportunities. So Aaron Wilson tweeted out that teams had reached out to him, like the Dolphins, the Texans, obviously. They had some interest in bringing him back earlier in the offseason. The Commanders were another team, but he's decided he wants to focus on other things. So Stephen Nelson retires at the age of 31. His last big play for the Texans was that pick six against the Browns in the wild card round. So he leaves as far as on-field play on a pretty good note. Some of the things that came afterwards aren't going to have him held in high regard, but Stephen Nelson no longer going to play in the NFL. So pretty young for his age. I'm sure he could have found a way to probably could have found his way into another deal or two if he wanted to, but he did not want to. So he was one cornerback off the board. We've talked quite a bit about the Texans and maybe their hole at corner or CB2. Another guy who probably won't be on the list considering what he's accused of. I alluded to it on Friday's show, and it's part of the thing I sometimes do. I just don't get to things. Well, Xavien Howard, a guy we've talked about quite a bit as far as why is he still on the market? Could he be a guy who a team looking for a big-time corner goes after? I know his agent earlier in the offseason talked about it's very rare that a guy of his caliber is out there. Xavien's going to be looking for a team that can compete, and also the agent alluded to Xavien Howard wouldn't be taking a small deal or some type of discount. Well, he may be forced to take one if the NFL cares about things of this nature. Let's judge the morality, Sean, because the Trevor Bauer thing is maybe a thing where he's could have been working out for the Astros. No, I don't think any what you would say legacy media has reported that. But we've seen people who tweet a lot about the Astros and purport to have sources say that he did. So where do we stack these things? Xavien, if you don't know the story, not Sean specifically, but everyone else, Xavien Howard is being accused by a woman of sending explicit photos of another woman to the son of the woman in question. So he's being sued by a different woman than the woman in the pictures. And his biggest crime, other than, you know, the whole revenge porn aspect of it, is sending those pictures to the woman's son. So we've got a big name cornerback who could find a place to play if the money was right for him, involved in something that beyond illegal is just, well, I don't know how immoral we can rank it, but when you're sending nudes to a teenager and the nudes are of his mom, we're at a different level. We're at a different level of spite. We're at a different level of card carrying. I don't know if a-hole is the right word. Just not a good person.
Scumbagger.
Yeah. If we're doing this, I mean, the message, the initial thing of, just even sending that's supposed to be a private thing between you and another person is crazy. It's illegal. And now you've decided to, I'm just going to send these to your son because you won't. By the way, this is the kicker to the story, by the way, that I haven't mentioned. He did it allegedly according to the lawsuit because the woman wouldn't get an abortion. So he decided to go, all right, you're not going to do this. I'm going to show your son what you're up to. That's the story of Xavien Howard. He's been in, you might call legal trouble before. He's been sued before in situations surrounding this. Women have said he's given them STDs, and those lawsuits have been determined to be false and no basis behind them. But this is another one in the off season, and generally they come in the off season for him. It's a busy time, I guess, for him. But this is the latest news regarding Xavien Howard.
Yeah, doesn't seem like he'll be a Texan.
No. I mean, is the quota one? And Joe Mixon is of guys who've had prominent off-the-field issues that, and I'm not just referring to Joe Mixon in college, because you might say, oh, that's a long time ago. There have been other things more recently than that that Joe Mixon has had to deal with in the court of, let's say, nothing. He has not been a primary figure, but his name has been mentioned around things, and nothing's really come of it, really, so far. But Joe Mixon hasn't had the cleanest of times since the incident where he was seen on videotape hitting a woman back in college, or maybe in high school. Was it right before he got to college, or was it in college that he did that?
I thought it was in college.
Okay, maybe in college. So I don't know if the Texans have decided to go in a different direction, period, overall, and stuff be damned. If you're a great player, we'll keep you. But this one might be a step too far. This one is beyond illegal, immoral. And then you throw in hey, go get an abortion, or I'm going to do this. I don't know how you make that signing. I don't know if anyone does.
Yeah, it's tough. It really any like half of that story. It's a tough one to. All right, now introductory press conference time for Xavier Howard.
I don't feel like he gets one. I feel like he signs a deal if he anywhere in the summer and he just shows up to camp one day. I don't think we're having he is not at a point. Yeah, he's not. No, I don't think there's a jersey. I don't think there's a photo op. I think he just shows up to camp one day. And look, they signed Xavier Howard. I think we're at that point with him, because I don't think even the deal would be big enough to warrant something where he's having the media show up. It might be a Zoom call or something, but I don't think the media is showing up to the facility to ask him questions. According to the
picture of him signing the contract with his agent.
Even that might be something that's out of it. Okay. Maybe on his agent's official account. I'm not sure the Texans are putting that picture up, or anyone else, whoever might sign him. According to the lawsuit, Xavier Howard operates by intimidation and force. Where he goes, destruction follows, and the lives of two individuals have been irrevocably altered because of him. Those are according to the attorneys involved in the case. So, yeah, if you are hoping for a cornerback acquisition, no matter who your team is, maybe keep waiting on potentially adding Xavier Howard. Doesn't feel like that's a guy who people are going to touch until some of this stuff gets cleared up.
Yeah, I don't know who the options are, because Xavier Howard seems busy right now. You have Steven Nelson, who announced his retirement. So, I don't know. Tough to be in the cornerback market. Luckily, Kamari Laster has been locking up Texans wide receivers all during OTAs.
Yes, in shorts and a t-shirt.
Locking him up.
Well, a practice jersey. It's more than a t-shirt.
Yeah,
he is wearing a practice
That's
jersey.
That's unfair.
Yeah, a practice jersey and shorts. He is locking up Texans receivers.
He's the Champ Bailey of before they put on pads.
Yes. You always want to be an All-American or an All-Pro on the practice field. It's always something to look forward to.
Better than not being one, but yes.
It's better than being cooked out there. You take one or the other. If we're going to pick apart things that really don't matter, I would choose for him to be impressing than to be someone who's getting embarrassed and can't cover anyone. Those are the options I have. I'll take the one he's providing, being really good out there in his first couple of practices with the Texans. I mentioned All-American, which makes you think of college football, and we got to talk about Texas ruining college football. Over the weekend, people were very upset about what the Longhorns did. We'll talk about that when we come back. Shame on Texas. If NIL wasn't enough, look what they're doing now. We'll talk about that when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Welcome back. As I was continuing to read, we'll get to the Longhorns ruining college football in a little bit, but I was reading through the reports of the Xavier Howard lawsuit, and it is confusing, mostly because the salacious part about the teenager getting sent pictures of his mother, that person isn't suing Xavier Howard. Another woman knows apparently the facts of that issue and is putting that in her lawsuit to, I guess, cement the case that Xavier Howard's not a great person. He also allegedly shared recordings of her that she agreed to make without her consent. So I guess she's just doing that whole preponderance of evidence thing, and now she wants the teenager to get involved, who's now 18, to be involved to make the case stronger. We'll see. But overall, just an ugly story involving one of the, at least at one point, one of the best cornerbacks in all of football who's still out there on the open market. And we'll see how the NFL and its teams treat this story and if they care. That's always a question. And I ask you this, Sean. I did mention Trevor Bauer before in the previous segment. I've seen Astro fans say, I'm out. No matter what, if he joins the team, I'm not a fan of this team anymore. I may not root for anyone else, but I'm not rooting for this team. And some people are like, you know what? It's partly the accusations against him, even beyond the Lindsey Hill accusation. There are more from the past that people can dig up. Also, the fact that he was such a troll to the Astros when they were going through the accusations and then finding out what they did or didn't do as far as the cheating scandal is concerned. Some players are just out. Some players you just can't have on your team because it changes the way you view your team. Where are you? Trevor Bauer joins the Astros. Are you out on them? Are you waiting for him to leave before you root again? Or I won't say it won't affect you, but it's you understand the business of sports and you'll just root for your team.
Probably the last one. I understand. I won't like it, but I understand. I get what they're doing. But hopefully I don't actually have to confront that. But on the other hand, I understand why people don't like him. I totally get, even beyond like specifically the Astro stuff, and obviously not including the off the field incident or incidents, but he just seems like such an a-hole.
Yeah,
like, man, he just seems like exhausting.
Would it be enjoyable to watch him out there pitch? Even if he was just a regular a-hole, not in some cases an extreme, maybe abuser, whatever you want to call him. If he was just a guy who had an issue because he, you know, the guy who throws a baseball into the crowd, stuff like that.
Before
do I want to root for that guy?
Before the he got hit with the accusations, the Dodgers clubhouse was like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
they just hated him off the rip. It's like I don't see it happening. Luckily, it's more of just like a either funny or a panic inducing thing to think about. But everyone talks about how they're going to turn on their badge and gun from being a fan if XYZ happens. Never happens. Never happens.
Take it out of the holster.
Especially, okay, I believe people would stop being Astros fans if they signed Trevor Bauer, .. and continued to stink. I think that's what would happen. And I think it would be a little bit more of column B than column A. If they signed Trevor Bauer and immediately the best team in baseball, guess who's not jumping off the bandwagon?
It would be a real test of morality versus fandom.
Fandom always wins. What are we talking about?
Well, there's some people I've seen who stop rooting for the Browns because of signing or trading for Deshaun Watson. So I've seen it. It can happen, but it's a select few. It's not the majority. It's a very small minority who discard however many years of fandom because of a move made by your team. It rarely happens.
I wonder, do they find another team? Or do they wait?
Or they just become fans of the game. Maybe they don't root for anybody anymore. They just go, hey, I just love the sport, so I'm going to watch it. I don't know if that's
it's
strong enough for baseball.
It's easier to do with football than it
that's
is
a football
baseball.
Thing. But is baseball that way, too, where if your team made a move that made you not root for them anymore, are you just going to watch baseball and enjoy it? Maybe some people are like that.
Oh, whoa. It's Nats Braves. Got to check this one out. That. I'm not a fan of either team. I'm a big watch.
What the Royals have done this year has been remarkable. I'm going to watch the Royals.
Yeah, Royals, Tigers. Great way to end my night.
Yuck.
Can't Tigers. Wait to do it again tomorrow. Or no, I'll watch a different game tomorrow.
You want to watch AL Central Baseball now?
Hey, fan of the game.
We'll see. We'll see. And like you said, hopefully it's not something we have to confront. Because that'll be a real interesting look and watch on social media, how people digest that, if that ever came to
me. Even getting a taste of it, the mayhem that it incites, just being like, you know, they were at a workout.
Everyone was making definitive statements immediately about where they stood before the move even came close to happening.
They're gonna have to change their whatever, Twitter handle. A lot of them have Astros in the Twitter handle. They're going to change that. Going to change their profile pic.
A lot of people doing that whole Rob Lowe thing where they just wear an MLB hat this time instead of an Astros hat. Showing up the games wearing Major League Baseball generic memorabilia and paraphernalia, if that happened.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I would hope not, because this show has talked about how the Astros haven't been good, but they have been interesting. This would take it to a different level.
They'd be interesting. They would
definitely be interesting. I don't see the name up there if that someone wants to come on. So whoever our intern is at the time, if you can write the name up there, we'll figure out who that might be. Let's get to the Longhorns ruining college football, according to people. We know NIL is a thing that people, in some cases, don't like the transfer portal, don't like coach movement, don't like realignment. All things that people have taken issue with in college football over the last 15 to 20 years. But the Lambos out in front for a recruiting weekend, people were furious. It was all the things wrong with college sports boiled down into that one picture in those videos. If you missed it, or if you don't know, college football, because of, and this has been a couple years now, that signing day is, there's a signing day in December. It used to be, you know, early February. That first Wednesday in February was when signing day was. It's what happened to the game we love, Sean. Remember when signing day was just that first Wednesday in February? Now it is mid-December, and then you have the regular signing day that first Wednesday in February. So the recruiting calendar has moved up. So now you have a lot of visits for a lot of the big-time prospects in June. The month of June's big in recruiting. Official visits are going on every weekend this month. And the Longhorns welcoming in a big recruiting class had the Lambos out, like, how many of them? Like, four aside?
Yeah.
Creating, like, a walkway into their facility?
I'd say 6 to 8.
On each side,
I'll
right?
I think 6 to 8 total. I'll have to go back, grind the tape and see.
Okay.
But, yeah, okay. They're all revving their engines, too, which is even more obnoxious.
A little much, guys.
But you have to remember, they're recruiting 17-year-olds. They have to do stuff that is cool to 17-year-olds.
I'm trying to think. Revving an engine. Would it have been cool for me at 17? It's a Lambo, so I guess that would have been cool.
Probably the first time you ever get to see one that close.
True. I mean, depending on where these kids are from, who knows what they've been exposed to. So, sure, the Lambo revving up. Yeah, some kid from, I don't know, East or West Texas or whatever.
Yeah.
Seeing that for the first time in Austin is pretty cool. But you upset a lot of college football people.
I did?
Well, your team did.
Oh, okay.
Your program did, because
I'll run out the flagpole.
How dare they? How dare they do something like that? You know, Florida's done that before. It's not new, by the way.
Oklahoma's done that.
People, yes. Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma's done that too. Yes, people have used expensive, extravagant cars to entice young athletes. I don't know if you guys have heard. They're going to be pretty girls there too. Things like that happen. But apparently the Lambos was a step too far for a lot of people, as Texas was just the decadence. The running away from amateurism, all of it distilled into the Lambos. And I was like, you know what? I've seen it before. Do something new, Texas.
Yeah, that's the craziest part to me, is that guys on Texas have had actual Lambo, like, deals.
Yeah, that ain't new.
Like that.
Did we ask? Is it like one of their current players' cars that they're just lending out for this event? We should have asked that question.
They're walking through the team garage, actually.
Yeah. Hey, could you move this for me? You'll get it back.
That's the wildest part to me. So it's like, yeah, Bijan Robinson had a Lambo deal, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what. Oh, wow. This Lamborghini dealership in Austin that's clearly interested in NIL opportunities for Texas athletes. Wow, they're going to be at the recruiting weekend.
That's my biggest problem with it. Everyone's going, can't believe they did it. You mean you can't believe you saw it 2 years after they started doing it?
Yeah.
And everyone else has been doing it?
There was an offensive lineman that had to fold himself into it.
Yeah, what are you doing, buddy? You're never going to fit in that car. Come in on. Fact, if you get to the place that Texas wants you, where you're like 6'5", 350, forget about it. Go get yourself a truck. I'm sure there's a Tesla truck waiting for you at some point.
That's what they need to do.
Yeah.
That's Cybertruck.
Yeah, I'm sure that Cybertruck is waiting for somebody at some point. So the college football world was aghast. Can't believe Texas would do that. Well,
honestly, would I ask the college football world, can you not believe it? I feel like it's very believable.
What are you guys so upset about?
I feel like it's a very believable Texas thing to do.
Yeah.
It's why Texas will never win anything. Ignore the fact that they
made the playoff last year.
Made the playoff. Yeah. 11 yards. You know,
people
away from
point
winning.
To you're focused on the wrong things. That's why you guys never do anything. Okay. Alabama and their Dodge Chargers. It happens across the country. Everyone relax.
That's the funny. So it's the caliber of car is what we're mad at?
The Lambo is extravagant. At least the Chargers American.
Oh, okay.
You bring in foreign influence into college football. That's your biggest problem. That Lamborghini influence. Man, people were upset. And I was like, you sent me that. And I didn't even get a reaction. You didn't even get a reaction out of me. I was like, my first thought was like, yeah, Florida's done this. Oklahoma's done this. A lot of schools have done this. Texas ain't new. In fact, the problem should be you're so behind the times. Hey, step it up. Get the Cybertrucks out there. Then we'll have a real conversation about decadence and foreign influence. But Texas is a recruiting monster, and they want to continue to be that. So they'll break out the luxury vehicles and see how the recruits respond. I'm sure they'll respond just fine. And Texas will recruit well as they enter the SEC as one of the favorites to make the college football playoff, if not win the national title. Sean has his Rose Bowl hat on right now from the 2006 title game, USC versus Texas.
Yeah, January 06.
Yes.
I think it has the date on it.
A great day for the University of Texas.
Yeah, January 4th.
One of the best college football games of all time. Texas hopes to play in a lot of those, and you know how you do that? Get the Lambos out. Thomas, I see you. You want to talk about Trevor Bauer? We'll talk about him when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
Welcome back to the show. A couple more segments to go here. But first, let's get to Thomas. He wants to talk about Trevor Bauer. What's up, Thomas? Oh, I guess he doesn't. Goodbye to Thomas. Thomas, you want to talk about Bauer? Don't know what you want to talk about. Just said Bauer up there. Anyone else want to chime in on really anything? You can call in 713-780-3776. As we go back to the current Astros, the rotation for their weekend series. Their series against the Giants is Arrigetti, Blanco, and Fromber. You know what? Considering the recent performances, the guy I'm questioning the most is Blanco.
Wow, your guy.
He is my guy. But what have you done for
Cy
me lately?
Blanco,
what have you done for me lately, Blanco? And Arrigetti, Blanco, and Fromber. Mostly, I'm kind of assured of the Arrigetti performance. The Blanco thing is more about I'm not sure what I'm going to get. As far as Arrigetti is concerned, I kind of figure I know what I'm going to get. And if he surprises me with a better performance, great. I'm thinking 5 1/3 and maybe 4 runs, something like that. Maybe because they're playing a worse team in the Giants, he might be better. We know the Astros have been able to beat up on the minnows of baseball. It's been awful against the best teams in baseball. Really bad.
I know what you're saying, and the Giants are under 500. The Giants do have a better record than the Astros.
I know. This is always the issue when we talk about the Astros are playing against a bad team. When they're worse.
It's not just you, but it was especially the Cardinals series. They're like, finally, they get an easy series. I'm like, the Cardinals have a better record than the Astros.
But the Astros have been awful, just awful against teams with winning records.
Yes. Yeah, no, I rather they play worse teams, but
yes, I'm not.
It's always funny how these teams get talked about. Like they're
It's not me insulting the Giants because I know they have been better than the Astros, but the Astros turn into good ball club, and I put that in quotes, a good ball club against teams under 500. That's the only way I can kind of position it. I know a lot of the teams that they're facing, even if they're below 500, are better than the Astros because the Astros are now 6 games below. But they don't play like that against teams under 500. They play good baseball.
Yeah, after the Giants series, they host the Tigers, another easy matchup where the Tigers right now are 2.5 games above the Astros.
Yeah, by the time we see the Tigers.
Then they play the White Sox, who actually are worse. They have 17 wins.
Markedly worse. By the time they see the Tigers may have maybe above 500. Then I don't give the Astros any shot of beating them. Tigers are only a game below 500. So if they get above, then we know that's going to be a long series for the Astros because that's just how they perform. But yes, Sean makes a good point. We have to try to avoid slandering the teams the Astros are worse than, at least as far as this year is concerned, just because we think better of them because of their past. And then we'll make fun of them for talking about the back of the baseball card. Once again, I don't see the name up there. If that's Thomas, let me know. We did have someone call in, and maybe that's Thomas trying to get back in. So we'll get to him. But as I said, it's Arrigueta, Blanco, and Fromber. Fromber clearly has turned it around the last couple of outings. He's been really good. Three straight quality starts for him. He had the complete game on Friday, the four-hitter. And then of course, Blanco's had – it's been touch and go since he came back from suspension. He's been okay. He hasn't pitched to the level that he had in the past where, jokingly, you can say Cy Blanco because of how good he's been. He was, at least in my eyes, the best story for the Astros and still remains the case for me. But you've seen other guys like Taylor Scott be good, and certainly Peña's bounce back has been nice to see as well. So that's the rotation. Arrigueta, Blanco, Fromber going forward, and we'll see. Six games back, you take another two out of three. Slow and steady progress. That'd be cool. Is that Thomas or Tomas? We'll figure that out. I don't want to get his name wrong when we go on air. It's Thomas. Thomas, you want to talk about Trevor Bauer? What's up, Thomas?
Yeah, it's Thomas. I was talking about Trevor Bauer, man, because that chick was just money hungry, dude, and pretty much, you know, the worst kind of person. I'd put her up there as a bad person as Xavier Howard. Dude lost 3 years of his career over her just spitting a bunch of lies, and he killed it in Mexico. I think he's a two-time Cy Young winner. He's a monster. I mean, why can't he come back to the Astros? Why would anybody not want to be a part of that and having him resurrect his career because some woman just basically was money hungry? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, a couple of things, Thomas. Lindsey Hill is the woman in question he's talking about. And despite, I guess, a ruling by judges, she has still claimed what she said was true. She wasn't the perfect witness, certainly. If we were trying to convict Trevor Bauer of anything, that particular woman wasn't the perfect witness for that. But the other thing is, she's not the only one. So you would have to start to parse and go back in his past. So we're talking about back when he was in Ohio, what he was accused of. So I think that is a concern as well. Because if you're an MLB team and you think Trevor Bauer has something left and you think he can help you, you might be able to say, well, Lindsey Hill, you see all the things surrounding that particular case. He didn't serve any time. In fact, it was shown that she had ill intent regarding him in some ways. You can sell that, possibly. But then you have to go back to what happened before and several incidents that happened when he wasn't as prominent of a name. These things go back to when he was a minor leaguer. That's the problem. One, and this town knows about that when it comes to, if you want to push aside one incident and go, hey, that's one, that's a murky one. Nothing has come from that other than lawsuits. Let's bring Trevor Bauer in. But start to explain away the other ones and see how far you go before people start to realize maybe he's a bigger problem than the one incident with the woman, I think, in San Diego. I think maybe that's where Lindsey Hill is from. So that's the issue, Thomas. You can't boil it down just to the one. And I think that's kind of gotten lost because of what you're talking about regarding Lindsey Hill. That's something an organization will have to deal with because there are enough people. If Trevor Bauer signs with the major league team, all of that stuff is going to come up again, and it won't end with her. He'll have to answer for the ones that have happened in the past, and more importantly, the team will. Maybe not more importantly, but as far as the team and their PR and explaining away why they did what they did, they'll have to answer for it. Did you investigate the previous incidents and say they amounted to nothing? So I think it'll be a tough sell for anyone to bring on Trevor Bauer when he has that type of pass. A couple of things regarding the Astros. We know Bregman was hit by another ball. He was removed from the game. Nothing appears to be broken, so he should be okay. X-rays are negative. Tucker went on the IL. Loperfido's up with the team. So Tucker, probably you're looking at. I think he said something like, at the time, maybe early next week, that he thinks he might have a shot of coming back. So we'll look out for Tucker as he's recovering from fouling that ball off his leg. Couple of injury things for the Astros. Nothing long term, but we're going to be without Kyle Tucker for a little bit as they officially placed him on the IL over the weekend. So a couple things I wanted to get to, and Sean, you make the choice, because I've kind of labeled these bargain basement topics, something we could get to or not get to, just depending on the flow of the show. And we are coming up on a break, so I'm going to let you determine what you would like to get to, and we'll take calls certainly if people want to continue to call in. Do you want to talk about the jokes we were making before the show about Dan Hurley and him acting like a recruit? Or we could obviously get to both. Or do you want to talk about Greg Berhalter embarrassing America over the weekend? Which one do you want to talk about when we get back?
Two great options. Mm-hmm. Two great options. I hope we can get to both, but let's start. I want to start with Greg Berhalter. Okay. I want him to catch one.
Okay. Greg Berhalter, the U.S. national team coach, continues to embarrass himself and our country on the world stage. Most goals given up in his tenure, 5 in just any game, but this one was a friendly against Colombia as the U.S. tries to get ready for Copa America. We'll talk about that. It was fire Greg with 3 G's. It was a lot of that over the weekend, so we'll talk about that. It was an embarrassing performance by the U.S. Hell, the crowd was a Colombian crowd, so it was all around bad for U.S. soccer. And we can get into what it might mean for the future. And yes, if we have time, we'll get into Dan Hurley as well, because, ooh, buddy, that guy is stretching it. Well, the report is, I'll set this up for when we come back. The report is he has made a decision about his future, whether he's going to stay at UConn or become the Lakers coach. He just hasn't told anyone yet, which is very Hayes Fawcett, make me my graphic type stuff. That's very inside, but Hayes Fawcett is now, I guess, a grown man. He might still be in college, who has made a name for himself and a living making graphics for high school recruits. They come to him, they tell Hayes, hey, Hayes, I'm going to play for this school. He keeps it a secret, and then once the kid's ready to announce, he sends the kid the graphic of where the kid's going. Dan Hurley needs to talk to Hayes Fawcett and ask for a graphic of whether he's staying at UConn or going to the Lakers. We'll talk about that and Greg Berhalter when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Got one more segment to go before Gallant and George take over. So, over the weekend, the show will get into soccer. We've gotten calls from people. Lazy J was contemplating driving up to see, or wherever, driving to see Mexico versus Brazil. Well, the U.S. played a game over the weekend, and you would have been better off not knowing it, unless you like to hate on Greg Berhalter. They lose 1-5 to Colombia. They were embarrassed. The team was embarrassed. Matt Turner, the goalie, was poor in the game. Greg Berhalter's tactics, as always, were questioned. His unwillingness to realize that maybe you shouldn't play out of the back with that roster against that team, where a team is just waiting for you to make mistakes, and they hit the U.S. on counters and they turned the ball over in bad spots. And it was an ugly showing for a team who is supposed to be getting ready. Now, this is 2 years from now, getting ready and building momentum towards a World Cup. Now, Sean, let's see where you stand as a fan. We are both big college football fans, so we're used to looking at firing the coach as hope. Like, hey, this coach gets fired, we got a chance to turn it around as long as we hire the right guy. We suffer through many a coaching hire and not going well. Looks like they finally have turned it around at Texas. We'll see if Mario Cristobal, his talent acquisition, can save him from himself. We'll see how the regular season goes. So, with Copa America, big tournament coming up, and the belief and maybe the delusion that if Greg Berhalter wipes out and crashes out there, he may eventually get fired. Would you hope for an early exit from COPA without really a guarantee that Greg Berhalter will get fired for it?
Berhalter out.
Well, yes, that is the line on social media every time things like this happen. Or even, hell, when they win a game, they should have lost to Jamaica in the Nations League. They got bailed out by an own goal with like 90-plus minutes into the match. Eventually went on to win that one, then win the final.
Get him out of my program.
I am with you there. I don't know if I'm going to be explicitly rooting against a team in Copa America, but I would not be bothered by an embarrassing showing.
I think that's where I'm at, too.
Yes.
Where it's going to be tough to be actively rooting against America, but any loss will come with a little bit of, like, good.
Well, the thing is, good, any
take that.
Getting your ass kicked by Uruguay is not a big deal.
No.
It'll be embarrassing, but if Panama...
Yeah.
Takes you behind the woodshed. That's the one. If they get embarrassed by Panama and don't make the second round because of that, that could be it.
Are the groups already out?
Yeah, they've been out for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it comes up in about 10 days now.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of around the corner.
Oh, maybe I... Wow. June, good sports month.
Yeah, it is. It's a good content month and a good sports month. So I think I'm right there with you. I got to believe...
Oh, yeah, Bolivia? Oof. Be a real shame, Bolivia.
The U.S. is going to be...
Nil-nil draw.
I mean, the rankings don't really matter in world soccer, but the U.S. is kind of expected to get out of the group, particularly when Panama is there. Bolivia's not great. Uruguay is the team with all the prestige, yeah. And that's the one that's going to be the challenge. In fact, I think it's the last game of the group, so they could lose. They could win the two games and not have to really worry about the Uruguay game if they win the first two. But, yeah. I will be rooting on the men on the pitch, but the dude wearing the Jordans on the sideline, if they happen to crash out and it gives me a chance to get him out of there, Berhalter out, I'm in. I'm in on a bad result in the Copa. I'm not rooting for it, but as long as the intended consequences happen of him leaving and them realizing they made a mistake when they rehired him, I'm good.
Yeah, it does make it tough to...
Can I trust U.S. soccer to make the right move?
Yes, to trust that they would come to that realization. But, yeah, I need that guy out of my life.
Yeah, I can't do this anymore. Don't waste what this generation could be. We're 2 years away from a World Cup at home. This is a group that, with a little luck... could make a semifinal. Could. I think a quarter. Julian, you want to talk about Acapulco? I guess you can call back if you want to. I don't know exactly about, because his ban is over. He's off. He's back.
Mm.
Parole. He's a parolee again.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe. I don't know what Acapulco you want to talk about. Maybe you took a visit there or something. But I can't have this, a home World Cup where there's a real shot with luck of a semifinal. And really, I think the bar should be a quarterfinal appearance. Like, if you make a... That means you finally win a second-round match. When's the last time we've done that? We've only done it once. 2002, when we beat Mexico. Dos a cero, the famous scoreline. We all know it if you're a soccer fan here. So, I need that. I need to get to the quarterfinal. And I don't think Greg with 3 Gs is the guy for it. Soccer ran over.
Okay.
Until the next one.
I'm glad I mean, now that I know Copa's starting in 10 days.
Yeah, we're gonna have time to rant about Greg Berhalter.
June and July, it seems like it. The other option was Dan Hurley. Did we touch on that?
Yeah, we did touch on it. Dan Hurley has allegedly made a decision. He just hasn't told anyone, unless you believe some random account who's... I say random, but he has a good following. This following might suggest he knows something. This gentleman says he has a cousin who's a walk-on on UConn basketball team. Says,
love it. Love this already.
It's a done deal. Dan just told his players, this was an hour ago, by the way, Dan just told his players he's moving to Los Angeles and that they are in good hands with the rest of the UConn staff. Dan Hurley is a Laker. Do we usually do that about coaches? He's a Laker. That's what we say that for players. Like, Isaiah Bond is a Longhorn. Stuff like that. We don't save... We don't save that for coaches.
Well, this is a recruiting trip, or it's been a recruiting battle.
This is the other point. He has treated it like he's a 5-star recruit. He went on an official visit to L.A., heard what they had to say, and told him, hey, I'm going to go home, speak with my family, and I'm going to come back with a decision shortly before I make my commitment. That's why I made the Hayes Fawcett joke in the previous segment. Dan Hurley needs a graphic, a commitment graphic. So we're supposed to find out today if the Lakers have a new coach. Other, maybe more accredited media is saying no one knows. Adam Zagoria, who does this for a living, breaking college basketball news, says practice has been moved from, well, now 1 p.m. Eastern, which will be in a couple minutes, from noon. It was initially just supposed to be an hour ago that practice was supposed to begin. Dan Hurley is not yet on campus. This was 43 minutes ago. Nobody in the building knows. Everyone's in the dark. So, conflicting reports. Who do I believe, Sean? Adam Zagoria, the noted college basketball reporter.
Doesn't have a cousin.
Or the guy with the cousin on the UConn basketball team.
Yep. I mean, Zagoria, get a cousin on the basketball team. What are we doing?
So, this report comes from at Sixth Man Jake.
Sixth Man Jake? You know who's on the UConn basketball team?
His cousin?
No. Well, yes. Sixth Man Jake's cousin. But also, Dan Hurley's son. What if Dan Hurley's son is the cousin of Six Man Jake? And so we're getting it.
Oh, we've got an update from this alleged cousin. By the way, Six Man Jake is a guy who doesn't use
his real name anywhere.
That's all right. He is a podcast host, although he doesn't tell you what podcast is for, which is probably your first clue that he's full of crap. Because how does a podcast host not tell you in his profile where he hosts a podcast? That's part of the deal for podcast hosts.
I don't know. Maybe it's such a big podcast that he doesn't.
Well, he does have a picture of Andre Drummond when he was a Laker in his profile. So, in his photo. So that's great.
I feel worse about this.
Yeah. Update from Sixth Man Jake, because this is how we break news. Sometimes it happens where some trainer knows more than an actual reporter. But cousin told me it's a giant mess at UConn right now, and no one knows what's going on. So the cousin went from a clear and defined source to not knowing what's going on. This is why never follow anyone or believe anyone until an actual report surfaces.
I was going to say never follow a minute-by-minute coaching or recruiting. Like, just don't.
It's not worth it.
Don't do it. Also, apparently there's a police presence in that Zagoria report. There's police getting ready.
Is he going to be escorted to the airport if he takes the job?
Yeah, like, is there a riot?
What's going to happen in stores if he leaves? No one's there. The basketball players are there. Classes are out. Only athletes are on campus.
I said don't follow this minute by minute, but you do miss out on stuff like this if you don't follow it minute by minute, that someone's cousin is on the basketball team.
Who knew that was final, now doesn't know. Although Dan Hurley would have told him, but now did Dan Hurley go back on his word, so it's not final anymore? Okay. It's never worth it. You'll know, and then you'll feel kind of dumb for following it for hours or minute by minute when the news will come out, and then, oh, okay, this happened. We move on. I'm sure it means a lot to the UConn people. Laker fans, I'm sure, care. But no one knows a thing.
There's a video of just, like, the outside of, I'm assuming, the practice court or something. There's a parking garage, and it's just four people with tripods. I'm guessing local media. Like, it's not that big of a scene, guys. No. Like, this.
Even the UConn people aren't treating it as such. Like, the national reporters are treating it as a big deal. UConn people are like, okay, if it happens, it happens. Oh, you got your hands up. Do we have news?
Not breaking news, but we do have more insight.
Okay.
From at Real Pitino, a.k.a. Rick Pitino.
Okay.
For the record, I have no idea what Danny does, or I have no idea what Danny, his dad, or wife want to do. I would love to see him stay in the Big East. He's great for our league.
Wait, is Dan Hurley is the dad going to have a real say on this, or is Dan Hurley just going to make the decision with his wife? He's going to include his dad? Oh, he is a real recruit then, if he's going to include the parents in this decision.
Yeah, exactly. He has to. Does his dad, is he okay with him, his boy, moving that far from home?
God forbid. His boy, the eldest boy. God forbid, the eldest boy,
48-year-old boy.
Yeah, whoever Actually, I don't even know who is the eldest boy in the Hurley family. Just referencing Succession. But we are done for the day. Unfortunately, we couldn't break the news to you that Dan Hurley had made a decision. No. Maybe Gallant George will have that for you. Maybe the Killer Bees.
We'll be refreshing Six-Man Jake's profile.
Or maybe it stretches into tomorrow, because Dan Hurley, much like a college football recruit, is very conflicted on his decision. He's going to take calls from Jeannie Buss and the Connecticut AD to convince him otherwise right before he makes his decision. We'll talk to you about that. Maybe tomorrow, if he makes a decision, and the Astros as their series begins with the Giants. Gallant and George are up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.